So Romans chapter 5, and we're going to begin at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's just pray as we come to consider God's word together. Oh Lord, we are just so aware of the peace that we need, and such a joy and privilege as we read these words that since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that this morning those words might really sink in to our minds, that we might understand them, but also into our hearts and into our lives, that we might live them out, enjoying the peace that you give us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I wonder whether you know peace in your life. Let me introduce you to a few characters that I just made up. Julie, she's got three young children. The house is constantly busy with toddlers playing and temper tantrums and stressful meal times and children's TV, and even the nights are filled with babies crying. Between school runs and nursery runs and visits to the park, there's hardly time for her to catch her breath, let alone enjoy the peace and quiet, whatever that is. Craig's 35. Craig, he lives alone. He experiences quietness in bucket loads, but he doesn't know peace. His brain is a constant whirl. There's problems from the past and regrets of the past that play on his mind in constant repeat. He's desperately lonely, but can't face going out and seeing anyone. He wants something to do, but struggles to even motivate himself to eat a meal. Denise, she's a widow. She's had a successful career, which is just coming to an end. Her children have left home, and her husband died 2 years ago. And when she's not at work, she bakes, she knits, she meets others in lots of community activities, but her heart really is yearning for those days when her family were all at home. She looks like a dynamic, successful woman, but inside she feels like so much is missing. And she certainly couldn't say that she has peace. John is married to Kate. They've got three teenagers in the house. They both have to work long hours to provide for the family and pay off some debt. And life's a constant struggle to make ends meet. And they pass like ships in the night. The children constantly bickering and fighting with one another, and they seem distant and so ungrateful for the sacrifice that they make. John and Kate are hoping that a long-needed holiday will bring some peace to family life. This morning I said we're thinking about peace. Last week we thought about this justification by faith. This idea, this truth of God that is declared to us, that it's simply by believing God and taking him at his word that we are credited as righteous, that we are forgiven, that we are cleansed when we believe what he has done for us through the Lord Jesus. And we said that because we're saved like that, but not by earning our salvation, that there is no boasting. So none of us can say, well, we're a Christian because we're so good or because we try so hard. So there's no boasting. And also that there is full assurance, because it depends on what God has promised and done, not on what we think, how we're performing. And today, if you notice, in verse 1 of chapter 5, it carries on with this same thought. But it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that we're made right with God because of what we believe, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, justification by faith brings peace to us. Peace with God. And we're going to slow down for a few weeks. I just felt like this little section is just so full of things to just pause and think about, that we're just really going to look at verse 1 today. And before we look at two aspects of peace, I want you just to notice something really important and distinguish it, because I've been using peace in different ways through the service. This verse is talking about peace with God, the greatest treasure, peace with God. There are other peace that we talk about, aren't they? Peace with other people and peace and quiet and peace not a war. But we're talking here about peace with God. And so just to be clear, justification by faith, believing God, won't keep Julie's children quiet. Justification by faith won't change Craig's painful past. Justification by faith won't bring back Denise's husband and children, the things that she longs for. Justification by faith won't eradicate John and Kate's debt and the other worries that they have in the household. But justification by faith will bring peace with God. And the peace with God that we can have with him then flows into every part of our lives. So let me ask you again, are you looking for peace this morning? Is there a sense of feeling a bit troubled, feeling anxious, feeling confused, feeling fearful, feeling exhausted? I want to suggest to you that the answer is not to try and solve those problems that you feel anxious about, not to try and change the circumstances that you face. Your highest priority is not just to remove the things that are stressing you at the moment, because we all know that as soon as you get rid of one, another one comes. Instead, what our attention should be on is seeking and enjoying peace with God. And that peace that you receive from God then flows into the situations in your life, that you might learn how to handle them. Not necessarily that they'll go away, but God will help you to deal with them in a right way. And that you'll still know his peace, even in the middle of those troubles and trials. It really is the greatest treasure in the whole wide world. And this peace is the possession of all who trust in Jesus. So if you're a Christian, this is true of you already. You have peace with God. It's a wonderful thing to think about. Perhaps you've not really grasped it or not really understood it, but you have peace with God. It's a gift for you to enjoy. And I've just got two brief things that I want to say to help us to understand this peace, and then some applications at the end. So let's just look at these two things. Firstly, we were enemies who are now reconciled to God. So that's the first sort of helpful way of thinking about peace. Perhaps the first thing you think of when you think about peace is like an absence of war. You know, that's the way we often use peace and war together. And a dictionary definition would be the absence of war.
And it's not completely parallel with our spiritual peace, but it's a helpful place to start. And if you remember, we took a considerable time going through these first few chapters of Romans, which basically said to us, naturally, before we believed in Christ, we were enemies of God. We experienced the wrath of God. God is angry with our sin. We were his enemies. We were against him. We were on the devil's team. We suppressed the truth. We opposed God's word. We fought against his ways. Just consider for a moment the magnitude of that. We've got a creator who made all things, and he made you and me. And we stood against him. We fought against him. We resisted his intentions for us. We didn't want to listen to what he had to say. We were trying to fight our creator and the God of the whole universe and the God of eternity. The one in whom our eternity hangs. We were fighting against him. We didn't really want to listen. And we do it in two ways. Some of us do it by being outright lawbreakers. We just say, well, we don't want to do it that way, and we live an immoral life, a life that's not in keeping with the things that God would say he would want. And we've all experienced that to some extent, that we've rejected his laws. Others become very prideful law keepers. And so rather than enjoying the relationship with God, it's all about keeping the laws and keeping the rules, following the letter exactly right. And we become proud, thinking that we are earning our way to heaven. Both of those two things are fighting against God, who says that our righteousness is credited because of belief. But the gospel describes a dramatic transformation. That we were once fighting against God, but through faith, now we've been justified. We've been made righteous, and we've switched teams. We're no longer fighting on the devil's team. We're now on the Lord's team. Instead of fighting with Satan, we stand with God. We find ourselves standing alongside God. We find ourselves at peace with God, reconciled to him. Did you notice that at the end of the piece I read, chapter 5, 10 and 11, this idea of reconciliation comes in, which is about peace, isn't it? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. So peace with God means that we're no longer fighting against him. We're forgiven. We've joined the army of light. What a relief. So we are enemies who are reconciled with God. Another way of thinking about peace is this, that we are rebels who are now united to God. Rebels who are united to God. Now, my guess would be that some of us are more naturally rebellious than others. Just having a look around, who do we think looks rebellious? There's something in all of us, I'm sure, that's rebellious, but some are more naturally rebellious than others. Perhaps in your family you can see it. Perhaps one of your brothers or sisters seems to you to be the most rebellious, or perhaps you can see that you yourself are the most rebellious in your family. Or perhaps you knew somebody, friend or at school or something, who you can see how rebellious they are against their parents. Or perhaps if you've been to school, that you can recall those children in the class that were the most rebellious to the teacher. Or perhaps you've worked somewhere and there were people that you worked with who you couldn't believe how rebellious they were against the boss. But as far as God's concerned, we're all rebels. That's again what those first few chapters of Romans are about. Rebellion is like resisting authority, isn't it? It's someone who's got rightful authority and we're resisting that authority. And I think there's a natural desire within us to do that. Like you know, like magnets, then like if you get them around a certain way, they naturally repel. And I think there's something in our hearts that's like that. And when we think about rebellion in regard to God, what we're talking about is being resistant to his reign. That we hear or heard proclaim, or we read the Bible and we know that God says that he's God of us and he's got a demand on us, and we don't want that reign over our lives. We don't want his authority over us. Even when he's trying to show his love to us, we don't want to know. And even the wisdom that he gives us for life, we refuse to listen to. And rebellion creates a relationship problem, doesn't it? If you think about how it works out in the generations, an older generation to a younger generation, if the younger generation rebel against their parents, we call it the generation gap. There feels like there's a tension between the age groups. It puts us at odds with God, in other words. Think of what Adam and Eve did in Genesis chapter 3, when they chose to believe Satan in the form of a serpent rather than their creator God. It was an act of rebellion. They're saying to God, we don't want your authority. We think that we might be better off on our own, doing it our way. But when we have been justified by faith, we're told that we have peace with God. The rebellion is over. No doubt there's remnants of it, but fundamentally it's over. We are brought into peace with God. We are united with him. We turn and trust Christ and we submit to his lordship. We accept that he reigns over us. We want now to please him and live for him. And there's a security in that. And whilst I guess that when we're in that rebellious stage, or when we've rebelled against our parents or whatever, I guess we can't see it. But perhaps many people later on in life look back and see what an enormous amount of strain I brought on myself by refusing to accept their authority and live within their boundaries. The security that we could have had, we pushed aside. I wonder if you can put yourself back into a situation where you've been rebellious and you know you were wrong, and you can look back now and think, oh, it would have been such a relief to have just accepted their authority right from the beginning. God's peace brings a restored relationship. It brings unity and harmony. So it's a lack of fighting, a lack of war, a reconciliation, and also a turning away from our rebellion against God. So just in the last few minutes, I want to think about how that peace that comes from justification by faith applies in everyday life. And first of all, it's worth noting again that it says in that verse that where that comes from, that peace, it comes only through Jesus. That verse, it says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you don't know this peace with God, you need to get to know his Son, the Lord Jesus. It's only through him that you'll find true and real peace. Another way of describing that verse would be this. Peace with God comes through believing in the person and the work of Jesus. That's like the gospel in a nutshell. Just in a few words. Peace with God comes through believing in the person and the work of Jesus. When you will accept what he has done for you, when you accept that you can't do it on your own and you need some help, you need a saviour, you get right with God by just believing in the person and the work of Jesus. I wonder if you can identify something of that battle and that rebellion that's gone on in your heart not towards brothers and sisters, but towards God. And perhaps you're even still in that place today, and if it is, then just look to Jesus. Put your faith and your trust in him. He says that you will receive peace with God. But perhaps this morning you have tasted that peace. And that peace is part of your assurance. It's part of the assurance that you've been justified by faith, that there is a peace between you and God. You know that the relationship between you and God is not what it once was. Once you were enemies, but now he is your God and you want to serve him. You're united with Jesus and you're in harmony with God. Not that you're perfect, but that's your desire day by day. And you know that you're not talking about an enemy when you talk of God, but you're talking about a friend. You know, the devil uses the world to throw all sorts of fake pieces at you. He says, you'll find peace if you go out the weekend and drink yourself stupid. He says, you'll find peace if you earn thousands and thousands of pounds. He says, you'll find peace if you have the biggest house, if you have the flashiest car, if you have the prettiest dress. He says, you'll have peace if you go on the best holidays. He says, you'll have peace if you go on, manage to get away and travel around the world. Now, I'm not saying these things are wrong, but they're not where you're going to find peace. And surely the honest truth is we've all tried some of those things, and they don't bring the peace that the devil promises. Only Jesus can bring that peace. Let me just read a couple of verses. Colossians 3:15 says this. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Only Jesus can bring real, true peace. And you might be saying, well, how does this connect with the peace that I was talking about earlier? You know, Julie and Craig and Denise and John and Kate. Let me just give you some examples of how I think these two relate. So Julie, she was the young mum. The vital peace that she needs is a peace with God that transcends the noisy household, that transcends the busyness of her life. It's a peace and a security with God that kills all those accusations that come at her about not feeling like she's doing a proper job, or feeling like she's letting her kids down, or the things that people say about her. All the craziness of life, her confidence now would be in God and that he is in control and a security is in him. Can you see how it doesn't change the circumstances that she's facing, but it changes her life because she's thinking differently about her life. She's now secure in knowing a peace with God that overrides everything. Craig, he was the guy who lives on his own, lonely. He needs to feel the true peace that God can give, a forgiveness for sins that have gone in the past. The power to refuse to be bitter towards others who have done things to him in the past. And a joy in the glorious friendship that's offered by Jesus. Can you see again, it doesn't change his situation, but it changes the way he looks at the situation because he's secure in the peace with God. Denise, you remember she was the lady whose husband died, and her peace will only come when she believes that God is in control. She's yearning for things back that have gone, and she needs to believe that God's in control. She needs to yield to him and trust him for her future. And John and Kate, well, no doubt they might need some debt advice, and they might need some marriage counselling and whatever else. They might need better jobs or whatever, but the deepest need that they have is for their burden to be lifted by finding their peace and their identity in Christ. You see, this is how God designed us to live. He designed us to live in communion with Him. That we wouldn't carry around these great burdens, but that we would constantly be giving them to Him. And if we refuse that, if we stand as an enemy against God and we're still in rebellion against Him, it's no wonder that the burdens bear down upon us in such a terrible way, because we've got nowhere to offer them to. And so my encouragement to you this morning is, if you've not tasted it, then to find that peace in God that you can only find through faith in the Lord Jesus. Simple as believing what Jesus has done for you. And whatever struggles and trials you're facing, find peace in God. Believe that He's in control. Don't find your identity in the things that people say to you or the things you believe about yourself. What really matters is what God says about you. And He says that you're at peace with Him if you have trusted in His Son. What a glorious thing to hold on to in a world that's constantly pressuring us in all sorts of ways. But to be able to hold on to this truth that we are those who have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And did you notice one of those lines in that little children's song? One of the reasons why this is the greatest treasure in the whole wide world is that even death can't take it away. We were at a funeral on Friday of a Christian lady who was 100, actually. What a thing. What a joy it is in a funeral to know that real peace with God. What other hope is there in a funeral than to know that that person is trusted in Christ, and that peace that she has with Him is continued now into eternity? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank You for this great blessing of peace with You. Lord, we can't believe that You've done it, because we have been so... we've been like an enemy to You. We've fought against You. We've refused to listen. We've not wanted to understand and done our own thing. We've chosen rebellion. And yet, Lord, You've caught up with us. So that You've opened our eyes, that You've warmed our hearts. You've helped us to see what You've done for us in Jesus. And thank You that through faith in Him, You've now brought us into Your family. You've now brought us onto Your team, that we are now standing side by side with the living God. Thank You, Lord, that that changes everything. It changes the way we look at life. It changes the way we face struggles and trials. Help us, Lord, we pray, to find our identity in Christ and in this peace that You've given us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.